You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for a good Friday, the 30th March 2018. And live for the racing on Friday, we've of course got the All-Weather Championships at Lingfield, and then there's cars at Newcastle and Bath as well. Luke Elder, Andrew Mount and Craig Forsyth in the Racing Radio studio, and they'll be on air from 20 past one in the afternoon. And now on the podcast to look ahead to Friday and also a little bit further afield to the weekend, my name's John Gibby, joined by Andy Holding. Hello, Andy, how are you?
Hello, John. Yeah, in good form, thank you. Good.
It's a bit weird these next few days. Depending on what you're into, it's either the most eventful or the least eventful few days of the season, really.
Yeah.
Some people can't be having these all-weather championships and the World Cup and the dirt racing and all the rest of it, whereas, you know, some people love that sort of thing.
Yeah, if you're like me, who pretty much watches everything wall-to-wall apart from American and Australian racing, I certainly don't mind a bit of all-weather action, particularly as it's such a high standard, not only in Lingfield over here on these shores, but over in Dubai as well. I've been watching all the Maidan action throughout the winter and have been thoroughly enjoying the action over there, albeit I think there's been a huge funky track over there throughout the winter. I think it's particularly the dirt track has just been absolutely ridiculous, to be honest. There's a massive bias towards horses that have been racing from an inside berth and making the run in. So unless the powers that be over in Maidan do something with the track, then I think we might get a similar set of circumstances this weekend.
I suppose that makes the punting easier as well.
It should do, in theory, yeah. You just want a front runner that gets on the rail and sees it out. And there's quite a few of those that we're going to talk about after we've talked about tomorrow's racing.
Okay, well, we will start off with Lingfield then. We're into the fourth, fifth year of these all-weather championships?
Yep, I think so, yep.
A good initiative, would you agree, Andy?
Very much so, yeah. The fast-track qualifiers have been of a very high standard. It gives you an idea of what horses we can expect to be running here. Most of them are all here. Very competitive racing. Obviously, the draw's going to pay a certain amount of advantage in some races over others, but all in all it's just worked, and the prize money's great. It'll have a good turnout, all the best jockeys are there, and there isn't a weak race.
Yeah,
and they're all good fields as well, each way betting in every race. That's what punters want.
And one of those races is the 2 o'clock, which is the marathon championship conditioned stakes. Of course, these are all conditioned races. It seems a bit weird that none of them are or at least listed to me.
But yeah.
All conditions race, either way. And what do you make of the marathon then, Andy?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this race. I think this year's standout candidate for me is Watersmeet. He was second in the race last year. He just got beat by Winning Story, who just did him later on. But he had a brutal trip in the early part of the race, Watersmeet. He was drawn out wide, had to use up a lot of petrol to get to the front or to race handy. And he kicked coming down the hill, he went clear, and you think, God, he was home and hose. But that initial energy which he used up, plus the mid-race manoeuvre, which he used up a bit of juice as well, took his toll on him later on. And he just got picked off later on. But I think he's been expertly campaigned this year, Mark Johnson, with a view to coming back and getting his revenge. And this year, luckily for him anyway, there's certainly no Godolphin horse in his way, albeit there's Red Verdon and Funny Kid and Mountain Bell, to mention three. But the great thing about Watersmeet is he seems to be getting better as he's getting older, John. Unlike myself, who seems to be struggling to get out of bed nowadays without creaking and, sounding like a right proper middle-aged man. But he's been a model of consistency this season. He's won his three races off the reel. And he's been showing quite a bit of speed as well for a two-miler. I've been getting this horse doing really good sectionals in the back end of his races. He beat Funny Kid at Wolverhampton earlier on the year when he was much the best that day. And even though he only won a neck last time out at Kempton, he won it in a common canter. Very easily was the description in the Racing Post analysts. So I think he's been, like I say, even though he's been winning with plenty in hand.
Yeah.
So I think his timing is absolutely perfect. He's had 37 days off to come here. We know he goes around the track. He's got a brilliant record at Lingfield. And the beauty about him is he stays really strongly, whereas we don't know whether Red Verdon, who is arguably the class act of the race, whether he's going to be fully effective over 2 miles than he is over a mile and a half. Yes, he won last time out in a good time, but that was at Kempton over a mile and a half. This is 2 miles around Lingfield. And when you've got a horse like Watersmeet who does see it out really well, and they're going to go quite quickly, I'd imagine, it'll certainly test his mettle. And at the prices, they're virtually the same price, so I'd much prefer Watersmeet. I've actually backed Watersmeet at Anthony Post for this. He's been available as a backup sort of 5-6-1 for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I do like my each way bets. It's hard to see Watersmeet not running well. You look at his form figures. He's virtually never out the first three.
Yeah.
Look at that. I mean, especially on the all weather. 1-1-1, 3-2-2-1-1, 1-2-1.
11 from 21 on the all weather compared to 2 from 21 on turf.
Yeah. I mean, if some firms go close to 4-1 about this horse, you can have your life on him each way. He will not be out the frame, John.
He will not be out of the frame. I love that certainty. Yeah. It's fantastic. Brilliant. What does it mean? A confident selection.
Very confident.
For Andy Holding in the marathon, the 2 o'clock. We move on then to the 3:05. This is where your other selection runs. This is a very different cat of the fish, really. It's the sprint. What have you used on this one, Andy?
Yeah, I think this could go either one of several ways. It depends on how it's run. We'd imagine that Catchy will make the run, and again, he has been. But Gifted Master's another front runner. So, you know, you've got Gracious John chucked in there and a couple of others that like to force the pace into Sarbut on his day. So there's going to be no hiding place here, and I'm looking for something perhaps to come off of the pace. Kimberello was a bit unlucky last time out. I could certainly make a case for him. He won the race last year, of course, with the far he can. But Atletico is the one that interests me here, John. He's been a bit of a frustrating character, arguably a hostage to fortune in many of his races this year, whereby he's been running over five, and I don't think five's his trip. Certainly not in the all-weather and the tracks that he's been running at. But he's just been, every single time he's finished like a rocket and finished second. And I think this race will be tailor-made for him here. They're going to go a good gallop. He likes to come off the speed. The extra furlong will suit. Kirby's the master at Lingfield and getting the tactics right, and hopefully he'll sit in behind him and certainly finish his race off anyway to perhaps finish in the frame again. He has been available at double figure. This horse was 16-1 a couple of days ago, which looks a daft price given his profile of finishing in the frame. I see William Hill have been very cute and put him in at 15-2 now. And I do like his chances from an each-way stance.
It's drawn 7. Is this a race where you'd be looking for something more towards the inside?
Not necessarily, because it's quite a small field. And you know, like I say, I think they're going to get splintered early on. You're going to get the ones that want to go vroom from the front. So I think if you're on a horse like Atletico, likes to get dropped in. If he's drawn 1, he get dropped in. If he's drawn 7, he get dropped in. So it doesn't make that much difference. I think if you're on a front runner and you're drawn out 1, you want to get to the front, it's a different ball game when you've got to try and compete against other horses from your stall position to get where you need to be. But Atletico, he'll just slot in wherever.
Atletico then in the all-weather Sprint Championships condition stakes to
so there you go. Nap and next best. Nap, Watersmeet, next best. Each way, Atletico. Or an each way double.
Oh.
Because we know Watersmeet, it can't be out of frame.
I think that's what they term it, a dirty each way double.
Filthy, absolute, complete scumbag each way double.
Excellent.
But you look at Atletico's profile as well. You look at his all weather stats. There you go. 2-2-2-2-2-1-1.
Never been out of the front too.
It's like I'm testing, isn't it? On
the
mic.
Yeah.
Testing 1-1-2-2-2-2. And it's exactly the same for Watersmeet. So hopefully either one of these two won't break tradition and finish in the frame.
Fantastic. Well, that's Lingfield's All Weather Championships Good Friday meeting, the now traditional fixture taking place on a Friday. There's other cards as well at Newcastle and Bath, of course. Bath only the second turf venue to hold a meeting of the year on Friday after felt like a bit of a false dawn last weekend for Doncaster there, Andy.
But yes,
we finally get some more action on the grass.
We do. Yeah, there's always that lull, isn't there, between Doncaster and the next turf action, which has always hasn't set or sat comfortably with lots of flat aficionados.
Feels like a mysterious prologue to the season.
Yes, you know, exactly.
Right, so we go international for the second half of the podcast, and another meeting which I was going to say it's unlike any other, which is a ridiculous thing to say because they've been doing it every week since the beginning of January, but something that is a bit different to what we would usually see over here is World Cup night over in Dubai at Maidan. And this, the interest in this meeting, Andy, seems to vary in this country markedly, basically depending on how many British or Irish or Western European horses get entered.
Yeah, and of course, depending as well whether you're aficionado of the dirt or you'd like your all weather, your Dubai action. And I've been watching it all the way through the winter and to various degrees of success and failure. But either way, all the best horses are running here. The form should work out. Time figures, hopefully, which I've been keeping, will work out, and it's just a matter of piecing together the ones who've done the good times and the best races, and hopefully if they're drawn well. What we can say up until now anyway is that the horses that have been drawn either 1, 2, 3 on the rail that have led or made the run in, been racing prominently, have virtually been impossible to beat. If you're drawn out in the car park on the outside on the wing and you're giving up ground away, it doesn't matter what price you are, how good you are, you will not win.
Yeah.
Unless the track changes dramatically. Now, this time last year, I remember coming into this meeting thinking it's all around the inside, you want to be on the front runners, but it absolutely belted down on the morning of the race. The track, the turf track then became soft, and it definitely had some kind of effect to how the dirt track rode as well, because all the inside front runners that wanted to make the run in, such as North America, Heavy Metal, the big players, all bombed out. Obviously, a lot of the hard season caught up with them as well, but they were racing on almost a sloppy surface.
Yeah.
And it suited a lot of the American horses. We had two American winners, didn't we? Arrogate won the last, and Mind Your Biscuits won the sprint. So I'm very mindful of not probably betting yet until the actual day and waiting to see what the conditions are like. But if they are dry and the surface rides as it's normally been riding, there are a few bets here. We're going to talk about a couple here tonight that I think we need to be keeping an eye on, because there's one in this UAE Derby, the 2:30 local time, our time, is definitely overpriced in my view.
Well, let's move on to that race now. And we were talking about sort of that British and Irish interest in this meeting. Well, this is a race where the front two and the betting come from the two powerhouses, traditional powerhouses of British and Irish racing or flat racing, Godolphin, and from Ballydoyle, Mendelssohn. So Goldtown, the favourite for Godolphin at 11-8, and Mendelssohn at 9-4 at time of recording. And actually, it's 8-1 bar, so the market would seem to be between these two. Were one of those two the one you had in mind?
No. This is a great bet. This is probably my best betting race of the whole Dubai Carnival final night. Once I'm desperate to take on Goldtown, but I couldn't touch him at 11-8.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I couldn't touch him at 11-8. Yes, he's been impressive on his two runs, but his time figures haven't been that great. He's beat absolute cannon fodder. I mean, he beat a horse called Roland Rocks on his first start, who is only a 92-rated horse trained by John Ryan. Roy Orbison, who was third, was one of those horses that graduated from the off Carnival cards on they usually end up running on a Saturday. He's only rated 80. Wasim definitely isn't a dirt horse, finished fourth.
Argentinian bred Roy Orbison, that's interesting.
Yes, indeed. But like I say, it was an absolute shocker of a race. He could not fail. He almost had the same bunch of opponents next time out when he was 4-11 in the 2000 Guineas, which was the worst Group 3 race you will ever see. Last Voyage, who finished third, you know, he's only a mid-range horse from the Godolphin stable. Then we got Roy Orbison and Dafka, who also come off the off card from the Carnival. So once again, he had another solo. Now, he was very impressive, won by 10 lengths, but he made the run in from a low draw, and he was made to look a lot more impressive than he was against a bunch of no-hopers. So first of all, I don't think his form's that great, but secondly, he's up in trip. Now, I know Thunder Snow won this race last year, having done the same. He was a miler and went up and stayed, but he was a different type of model. He was a proper staying type, whereas I'm not sure Goldtown is. Certainly from a background of, largely speaking, 6 furlong and 7 furlong races. So I wouldn't back him. Obviously, Mendelssohn was impressive the last day in Dundalk when he had his prep run. And, you know, he's already proven himself on the synthetics when he won at Del Mar last year, but that was on the turf. Now, he's got to race dirt first time out. This is a massive, massive ask to ask a horse to go from Dundalk to race on the dirt first time off the plane. So this leads me on to a real nice bit of each-way skullduggery here on a horse called Rayar from the Doug Watson stable. Now, he's not sexy as the front two in the market, but the one thing he has already proven is A, that he loves this dirt, and B, that he loves the track. He's won over a mile, 1.5, which he's going to race over, and he beat two horses, I think, they're of the equal to Gold Town from the Godolphin stable. Two called Expressingly and Winter Lightning, who was a 5-on poke. Now, this horse jumped out from the stall one, made all the running and never ever looked like getting beat, won very easily. Lo and behold, on final night, drawn stall one, likely to make the running from the inside. What's not to like? He's guaranteed to lead. He's going to be very difficult to pass, and he's 9-1.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of, like I say, from a price perspective, it's been underestimated because it's not highly rated as the other two. But the other two are very much playing out of their comfort zones. Gold Town Trip, Mendelssohn Track. They're both sexy, powerful stables. They're bound to take out a huge chunk of the market just because of their names. Whereas Rayar's very much floated under the radar here and has been totally underestimated for all the wrong reasons.
I just wanted to put in a point about the stables. Do you think because punters in this country will be more familiar with those yards by a long way that those horses end up getting overbet?
Absolutely. Makes a massive difference. Yeah, huge. Particularly Aidan O'Brien. Yeah. The Aidan O'Brien one is the one that's been almost like parachuted in here. At least we know Gold Town handles the surface and it's Charlie Appleby's who's had an amazing record at the Carnival. But the Aidan O'Brien horses, Mendelssohn, Seahenge and Three and Fourpence have never been on this dirt. They've run at Dundalk, but it's nothing like this.
Going from Dundalk to running on
the run style
card.
Is different as well.
Yeah.
You know, Dundalk, they go slow, they're quicken up. It's about the class horses coming through. But this, you need a horse who's a perpetual grinder. It's a totally different set of circumstances to anything that these horses have run under. And you've been asked to take like 9-4, 2-1, Mendelssohn.
Yeah.
It's just 9-1 for Rayar. I mean, if he gets to the front, there's no way on this planet that there's going to be three horses going by him. It's just an absolute freebie at that price.
Listeners, I think Andy Holding fancies Rayar.
I do fancy Rayar, yeah.
I think I've gathered that from the hints you've been giving off during this conversation. It's the 2:30, and that's 2:30 our time, isn't it? Not 2:30 their time. For the UAE Derby, the 3:40 on the same card is the Golden Shaheen. It's the sprint over 6 furlongs, and we've actually got an odds-on favourite for this one at time of recording. Roy H is 10-11.
Yeah, I must admit, I wouldn't be as up to speed with my American racing as probably what I should be for reasons outlined. And quite clearly, this horse is a very special talent. But again, he's unproven anyway, as far as we know, at Maidan. So I'm going to go with last year's winner here, Mind Your Biscuits, who overcame an absolute nightmare stall position. He was drawn 14 of 14 last year. He actually went off a decent price because the fact that I think a lot of the locals, the regulars, thought 14, you know, you can't win from that stall position. But he managed to overcome that in pretty tidy fashion. He ended up actually winning by 3 lengths. And he came from off the pace as well. On Saturday, he's drawn his stall one. Now, hopefully that'll give his pilot ample opportunity to get him into a good early track position round the inside. He's going to be saving ground. He's going to be running on the quickest strip. And he's available to back at 4-1. I'm sensing a nice little each way multiple working out here. Every horse I'm tipping here is like, I think, over the odds. And they've got so much in their favour. Watersmead, Athletico, Mind Your Biscuits, Rayar. Just stick with the tried and trusted formula. Horses that won at the track. This horse won the race last year and he's drawn in stall one.
Keeping it nice and simple.
Again, it's hard to see this horse not running well. Jordan Sport, who's the fourth favourite, broke the track record here last time out, but he's drawn 9-9. He was drawn 1-1 the last time out. He followed the bias, what they call the universal track bias, as Andy Bay used to say over in America, the time speed aficionado. Universal track bias is basically running on the quickest part of the track.
Yeah.
Time and time again, and that's what happened with Jordan Sport. Now he's going to be forced to run from stall 9. He's got absolutely no chance of winning. The Americans will dominate this race. Ronaldo the Wizard, God, you know, he's drawn his pension at 12. You know, a lot of these horses are just an absolute million compared to the American horses.
Well, so the selection as well, last year's winner, and has something in hand with most of these on the ratings.
He'll beat all the Dubai horses. He did it from 14 last year. He's only got to worry about his two compatriots, and yet out of the two of them, he's drawn the best. So, and he looks as though his preparation's been teed up for a nicety. He was second in America on his prep race last time. He's had 50 days off. A very similar set of circumstances to last year, when he was off the track. He was off the track for 64 days, had a run, and then came to the carnival, and it's virtually the same again. So I'll be very confident of him at least placing anyway.
Mind Your Biscuits, one to a note then in the Golden Shaheen, that Group 1 sprint over 6 furlongs. It's a 3:40 at Maidan on Saturday.
One more.
And finally, the 4:35 is the Dubai Turf. It's another Group 1 contest, of course, and it's at 4:35 over a mile and a furlong. A name that will be familiar to British flat fans. Ben Battle is the 3-1 favourite at time of recording.
Yeah, he's a decent tool, isn't he, Ben Battle? You know, he's a genuine Group 1 horse. He got beat by his stable companion, Blair House, who actually I would have fancied for this race, because I thought Blair House beat him fair and square here the last day. But unfortunately, Blair House has drawn the coffin box. He's drawn 15-15, hence his price at 14-1. You could see why they're expected to flip-flop here, and I'd probably agree with it, although I wouldn't take 3-1 about Ben Battle, because this is a wide-open race. Vivios won the race last year, so he's respected. But there's one horse in this race, John, that again, which is overpriced. Usually the turf course very much favours front runners or horses race up with the speed and that are drawn low. Championship probably would have a little bit to find with the pick of those. Not a huge bunch. I mean, he's rated 114, but he's actually run quite well this season. He ran over 7 first time out and was eased when his winning chance had gone, but he was only 11-2 chance in a Group 2. He then tried to make the run in here last time out and only just got nutted late on by a horse called Janubi, who's a fair tool. You know, Dream Castle was 5th, who had won his previous 2 starts, so it wasn't a bad Group 2. But on his best form, this lad would have a chance if he got to the front. And I think he will, because he's drawn stall 1. You look at his form figures here. Soon led, made the run in, made all. He's a very, very hard horse to pass once he's got up ahead of steam. He's drawn stall 1. Sylvester's been booked, and he's 20-1. And I don't think he's got that much to find anyway to be competitive or beat this lot. They're very, very similar bunch of horses. There's only like a pound or two either way with either of them, depending on how the race is run. But for the first time at this carnival, Championship has got a good draw to utilise his early speed. He was drawn 10 of 10 last time out. If my memory serves me correct. Let me just drag it up. I think there was 10 runners. Yeah, 10 runners, 10 of 10. And he had to use up loads of petrol to get to the front. And I think that's the reason he ended up getting beat.
Yeah.
But I think he was the best horse in the race, having almost overcome adversity to get there.
Beaten less than a length.
Yeah, he's only beaten less than a length. But he's going to get an uncontested lead from the inside. That means he can get a breather into him this time. Whereas he was flat out from the outside last time out. And he had nothing left to give because he'd gone so hard so early to get to the front. Whereas this time, gates will open. You're on the rail. You've got everything to your right-hand side. You can afford just to get a breather in. It can't be a 20-1 shot. It's an absolute ridiculous price.
Oh, that's strong words from
Andy Harding. It's just a mad price. Like, if you follow your form, you follow the run styles in Dubai, there's no way that horse should be 20-1.
Well, he is.
He should be 8-10-1 at best.
At time of recording, 20-1 for Championship. Drawn one of how many runs there are in this race?
So,
on the inside,
so
anyway.
I've basically gone for 3 inside horse draws, horse drawn horses who are all overpriced, who seem to have been priced up on their supposed not strong form as others. But you've got to play the horses that are in the right track positions at Dundalk, at Maidan, and you overlook the ones who have got the best form that are badly drawn. Simple as that.
I defy anyone to ignore Andy Helding's advice after those words on the action, not only on World Cup night, but also for All Weather Championships Day on Friday. And we look forward to the action very much indeed. Of course, from Lingfield, you can hear the action live on William Hill's Racing Radio, as with the rest of the domestic action. And that'll be live tomorrow for the 3 meetings. Podcast will be back tomorrow as well. And Andy, thanks for joining us on today's edition.
Well, hopefully I've left you with a life-changing each-way Super Yankee. You've got Watersmeet, Atletico, Mind Your Biscuits, Raya, and Championship. The crowning glory at 20-1.
Fantastic. See you next time.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.